Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa, a spiritual community that promotes global transformation through personal transformation. At the center, we are motivated by a compelling vision of a healthy, loving world, which we call the Global Heart Vision. This vision inspires us to bring the gifts of compassion and loving kindness to the world through our ministries and teaching. What you are about to hear is a recording of a message delivered at the Center for Spiritual Living Santa Rosa. Feel welcomed. Feel at home.
This month's feature magazine article is written by Dr. Carol Carnes, who is one of our treasures in Centers for Spiritual Living, a brilliant teacher of metaphysics. And in it, she writes something to set us off in our theme about creativity. We are involved in the creative process every moment of our lives. Right? Removing ourselves from the ever-becoming universe is not possible. We could stop and just go home now. The idea to form process, she writes, is built into every human being. We cannot stop it. We cannot opt out. Isn't that marvelous? So it's not just, you know, writing poetry, playing beautiful music, painting stages, doing creative arts. It's everything. Particularly what's happening inside here, right? So because our theme is creativity, I want to tell you a story that I tell from time to time to remind me of how creative imagination is. And so it is the parable of the pickpocket. So as I tell you the story, try to imagine it happening as if you were there. Witnessing it. Here's how it goes. I watched a group of people standing on the platform at a train station. I witnessed a pickpocketing. A person who was well dressed by my standards walked casually up alongside a group of people on the platform. The people were speaking a different language to most other people around them. The first person dropped their hand into the shoulder bag of one of the people chatting in the large group and swiftly removed a purse. I was watching the event from inside the train where I was sitting. One of the people in the large group on the platform noticed what was happening and cried out in their own language in a loud voice and reached for that stolen purse, which was slipping into the pickpocket's shoulder bag. The pickpocket shouted back in their own language and started swatting the outstretched hand of the accuser and then began to flee. Then the platform full of people seemed to wake up and a sudden bunch of shouting and activity erupted. My train at that point was pulling out of the station. The end. Now, this is where your creativity comes in. This is where your creative mind comes in. How did your imagination paint that story? Where did it take place? In which country? What gender was the pickpocket? What was their age, their ethnicity, their nationality? Oh, and the group with the victim, what language were they speaking? And in your imagination, what should the crowd have done or didn't do that they should have? Oh, and here's a good question for your imagination. What happened next? Oh, here's a better question for your imagination. What did you want to happen next? You see, I'm thinking that very few of us here have matching scenes. You're like witnesses of an accident or event somewhere. We've all got our own scenes. And the story to me shows just how creative my imagination can be and how it can create whole scenes with meaning and implication from a few facts, a few factoids. And now each one of us has most likely elaborated on the story of what happened. And I think that elaboration is based on our conditioning. Who we think is most likely to be the perpetrator. Who we think is most likely to be the victim. What we think should and shouldn't happen. And that's really a use of creativity. It's a creative use of mind, but it's not free yet. I'll tell you what I mean. Freedom comes when we use our mind in a way that goes beyond our conditioning. And that means starting to notice, and this is for me, sometimes I'm not very creative with my thinking. For example, when I am automatically creating images in my mind and putting meaning on it out of habit, out of conditioning, not being really very inventive. So there's a question for the journal today. If you like to take questions for your journaling, here we go. Where does my mind go automatically? And is that the best place for it? Or another way of saying that same question is there another correct answer to this question? Or is there another possible meaning to this situation than the one I went to straight away? Now, a few years ago, we had a recommended book, and it's just made a big impression on me by Anthony Ray Hinton, who came here to speak. And the book was The Sun Does Shine. And Anthony was imprisoned for a murder that he didn't commit. And he was put in prison on death row to await his execution. And here are some words from his book. Someday, I was going to walk out of here, prison. But until then, I was going to use my mind to travel the world. I had so many places to go and people to see and things to learn. I could leave the row in my mind. And now I was going to show these guys in with him that they could leave too. I remember being in school and reading a book about California and getting so lost in it, I swear I could smell the salt water of the Pacific Ocean. I realized that the state of Alabama could steal my future and my freedom, but they couldn't steal my soul and my humanity and his creative mind. Now, these ideas of his speak for themselves, but they remind me of our teaching in the science of mind, the idea that we have freedom in here, in our thought, even when we don't have social, political, or economic freedom. And not only can we dream beyond the facts of our lives, it turns out that this dreaming is powerful and creative and influential. You know, one of the first catchphrases I heard when I stepped into a center for spiritual living was, you can change your life by changing your mind. We all discover it's not that easy. It's not that simple, right? I mean, I had no idea how to change my mind, but I was still attracted to it. There was something about the idea that got my attention. Can I? can I change my life by changing my mind? And so what I started to do, I started to watch my thinking for where it went automatically. What was it doing? And I learned to ask myself, does this mean what I've told myself it means? And where did that meaning come from? And is there another possible correct meaning for the situation? What haven't I let myself think about this? Oh, and in that exploration, I realized that I had let my mind be pickpocketed, stolen. You know, instead of smelling the salt waters of California, I was just going along with the ordinary, predictable, done before, expected way of thinking. And so I had to learn to interrupt my thinking when I felt stuck and breathe and ask that question, what's the other correct answer? You know, it became a way of life for me. To this day, as soon as I'm certain that I know what a thing means, I check. There's a verse in the New Testament, Romans, very famous. This is the King James Version, and it speaks to this. And be not conformed to this world. It's funny, come on. Don't be conformed to society. Don't fit in. I mean, that may not be what it was intended to mean, but be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of the divine. In other words, here's my interpretation. Don't settle, I'm talking to myself, for what you've always thought. Ask yourself what else is possible. In other words, don't go with the easy answer. Pause, take some time, think up something different just for the fun of it. Think up something outrageous. In other words, don't go the way of the crowd every time. I mean, pause, ask, is that my direction? And what destination do I have in mind? Is this the right train for me to be getting on? In other words, don't give up when others have. They may be driving on autopilot. They may have forgotten that they have an imagination. They may be asleep. They may not know just how powerful it is to dare. In other words, keep your mind alive, alert, enthusiastic. So when the world says death, you start looking for life. When the world says be afraid of people who are different, you start looking for inclusion and equity. When the world says whatever it is it says, you say, I wonder what else is possible. I wonder what else is true. I wonder what else is important. You see, I loved that phrase, you can change your life by changing your mind. I loved it because it came to me at a point in my life when I really needed to hear it. I was going through such a tough spot, really, at the time, and I needed things to change. So I tried all the ways. You heard Nancy mention them. I did affirmations, affirmative prayer. I did selfless service. I meditated. I did spiritual study. I learned to give and receive. I did it all, and slowly, bit by bit, all of this inner work did. It started to turn me around. It did. Still, the most difficult part I found was to let go of and move past anger and hurt and despair when I was stuck in the situation that I was in that I wanted to change. I wanted the situation to change so that I could change my mind. How could I imagine a bright new reality, I asked myself, when nothing had changed yet? I remember myself saying to my science of mind teacher, I'll feel differently when the situation is behind me. I'll be more positive when this job or relationship or whatever it is done. I'll be creative when there are more options. And then I started to learn about people who had to change their minds before their lives changed, like Anthony Ray Hinton, telling us before he was released, he had to be free. Whew. And you know, that was very helpful because I realized I didn't have to pretend that I was not hurt. I didn't have to pretend that I didn't feel sad. I didn't have to pretend that bad things hadn't happened. You know, I could remain aware of the landscape. I could see the pickpocketing happening. And still, at the same time, simultaneously, I could also use my imagination to imagine a greater yet to be. Every day at noon, Pacific time, dozens of people get together on Zoom with our community in Ukraine to imagine a greater yet to be, a world of peace. Even though the world is at war and danger is imminent, the group of people from all over the world get together from all over the planet day after day after day, twice a day, to create what they call a chain reaction of peace, a spiritual chain reaction of peace. It's not that they don't know what's going on, but simultaneously, they are doing their spiritual work. Now, the poet Jack Gilbert writes about this paradox, you know, like where on one hand we have the gritty reality of life, and on the other hand we have simultaneously the beauty and splendor and rejoicing of life, simultaneously present. And he calls us to not abandon the one for the other. Now, these words are intense, but here's some of the words from his poetry. Sorrow everywhere, slaughter everywhere. If babies are not starving someplace, they're starving somewhere else with flies in their nostrils. But we enjoy our lives because that's what God wants. Otherwise, the mornings before summer dawn would not be made so fine. The Bengal tiger would not be fashioned so miraculously well. The poor woman at the fountain are laughing together between the suffering they have known and the awfulness in their future, smiling and laughing while somebody in the village is very sick. There is laughter every day in the terrible streets of Calcutta, and the women laugh in the cages of Bombay. If we deny our happiness, resist our satisfaction, we lessen the importance of their deprivation. We must risk delight. Oh, we can do without pleasure, but not delight, not enjoyment. We must have the stubbornness to accept our gladness in the ruthless furnace of this world, to make injustice the only measure of our attention, is to praise the devil. If the locomotive of the Lord runs us down, we should give thanks that the end has magnitude. We must admit there will be music despite everything. Oh, that line. To make injustice the only measure of our attention is to praise the devil. Or we would say it, I would say it, don't give all of my attention to the thing that afflicts me. Give some of that attention also to my creative power inside. I can do both. Who would blame Anthony Ray Hinton if he were angry or if he couldn't find a way to move past the hurt or despair? He would have been justified, but he didn't. He didn't make injustice the only measure of his attention. Another impactful book, West of Jesus. Stephen Kotler, the author, he talks about when we reach that point in our life when we've got to make a decision about which direction to go. You know, when it becomes absolutely necessary to do that, and here are the words that have stuck with me. The things I was choosing not to do were starting to add up to a whole other life. A life I really didn't want to live. Now you can see why that stuck with me. Because it makes me think of those times when I get myself into a stuck place and I'm not using my imagination. You know, so I've been learning again when I'm in a stuck place, I can prompt my imagination using Stephen Kotler as a guide. Now, I don't particularly enjoy these questions. That's why I want to share them with you. Maybe they are prompts for your journaling too. Are you ready? No. Well, here they come anyway. What do you know you should be doing? You know that thing that if you started doing it right away, you know it would immediately create an opening in your life? Or we can soften it a bit. Well, that's not really softening. This, we can ask it like this. What does your heart keep telling you to do that you keep ignoring? Or what feelings are you denying are present? Or what dreams have you abandoned? Or what are you busying yourself with so much that you have a very, very good reason to not do what you know you must do? Can you see how important it is to bring your creative imagination into this? And to think past the easy answer and the first answer? So this month, as we focus on creativity, I know what I want to do. I want to be mindful that I don't settle for the easy automatic answer. I don't want to. I want to be mindful to remember that my imagination is a tool that sows seeds of possibility and renewal. I want to remember not to accept any circumstance in my life or in the world as the final page in the story. Not for me, not for others. Even though they may be unjustly imprisoned, inhumanely detained, or wrongly invaded, I want to practice being open to asking, what else is possible and true? Now, in that article by Dr. Carol Carnes about creativity, she says, what the world needs now is a new understanding of how things happen, not why they happen. There are no good answers to the why questions. How anything moves from invisible idea to visible form is the grand frontier for both religion and science. So, train your mind to turn naturally to what is possible. Expect good ideas to arise in your awareness. and accept those that seem rightfully yours. And above all, trust the creative process. It's going to be a fun ride. And to make sure that we stay on task, every month has a spiritual mind treatment at the beginning of the month. April's is on creativity, and I offer it to you as our spiritual practice for today. And you know, you might read it yourself every day this month. See what that does as a practice. It's a beautiful thing to do. Taking a breath in. As you exhale, letting your eyes close if that feels comfortable, and imagining that these words are yours. Love, peace, beauty, joy, creativity. These are but a few of the qualities of divine intelligence, the one mind back of all there is, which is everywhere present. I am an extension and an embodiment of this divine intelligence. I am a thread in the ongoing tapestry of life, weaving my path as part of the whole. As I realize this truth for myself, I recognize it as accurate for all life. From this understanding, then, I relax into the flow of infinite possibilities. I affirm greater appreciation of all forms of art, music, and the creative ways others are inspired to express their divine nature. I claim a renewed interest and emphasis on beauty, nature, creativity, and I declare that through this renewed interest, we are collectively creating a world that works for everyone in harmony with all life. I am deeply grateful for this conscious awareness and awakening, and I release my word into the infinite law, knowing it is so, and so it is.